I would ask you to please turn with me in the book of Job. Job, and we'll begin in chapter 1 and verse number 6. Job chapter 1 and verse number 6. And we don't have any children's prayer meeting tonight, so everybody's here. All of our workers are here. Isn't that nice? Except for the ones out to camp, so thank God for them. But Job chapter 1 and verse number 6. It says in chapter 1 and verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." You know, here we see the beginning of a play in the life of Job. And really, we're going to look at three acts tonight in this play. And the first act begins behind the scenes in the invisible realm, in the heavenly realms. And here we see Satan is involved in this thing. And Satan actually says to God, if you notice it, God is there. And what does the Lord say? Look at verse 7. It says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." So here we know that the devil is busy. Amen? The devil is busy. We think we're busy. The devil is busy. He doesn't take a vacation. Yeah, I think we should. But he doesn't. He's always working. He's a consummate worker. And he's an evil worker. And he has many, many helpers as well. But he is right there in the world. He's not in hell. He's not banished somewhere. He can go to heaven and talk to God. He can go to earth, and he spends a lot of time on the earth, and God allows it. God allows it. And Satan told the Lord, "I've been going to and fro in the earth from walking up and down in it." By the way, he's not interested in the bar crowd. He's not interested in the drug crowd. He's mostly interested in the church crowd, as well as leaders over nations to control. And the Bible says here, "And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect or mature and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Now, isn't that something? God is aware of what Job is doing, and we can say by extension, God is aware of what you're doing. When it says perfect, it doesn't mean he was sinlessly perfect. We see that even in this book later on. But he was a mature man. He was a man that was serving God, and God notices that, and he is saying good things about Job. He's saying good things about him. And that's what I want for myself. I want God to be able to say, and the Lord to be able to say at the end of the day, you know, I have a smile on my face, the face that was once beaten for me, because Randy put a smile on my face today. And the way he did his life and ministry, that puts a smile on my face. And I want that. I want God to do that for you. I want God to look at you as deacons and deacons' wives and servants of God here in the church and say, I'm pleased with the way that you've lived your life. And here God is pleased, and he tells Satan about it. But let's look at Satan now. He, in verse 9, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Boy, he's a troublemaker, isn't he? You know, Satan is an accuser of the brethren. Satan is a slanderer. He attacks people. He attacks their character. He minimizes what they do. He sees the negative, and he goes after the negative to bring down. And if you tend to do that, if you're that kind of a person, then you kind of resemble Satan. And I don't want to resemble Satan here. I want to resemble God, who pointed to Job and the good life that Job was living. And so Satan really went after this. And basically what he's saying is, God, you bribed Job. You've given him everything. He's just serving you because out of the fact that you've blessed him. He doesn't really love you. He doesn't really love your word. He doesn't really love your work. He just loves the blessings that you give him and you blessed him. And you put a hedge around him. By the way, Satan is aware that God has a hedge around us. What's that? A hedge of protection. Why? Because he wants to get to you. He wants to cause you trouble. He wants to, but he has to get permission from God. But he's always looking to break through that hedge. He's always looking because he's so hateful. He's so mean. He's so envious. He doesn't like your blessing. And he's always looking to spoil things. And here we see that. And this is the thing that you need to see and that you need to understand. And so he said, basically, Satan says, you bribed Job. That's why he's serving you. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. See what he wants? He wants God to really hurt Job, doesn't he? And he's given God a challenge here, and he is saying, I can get him to curse you. You know what? He wants you to curse God. And sometime when you curse your circumstances, you're actually cursing God, because God is the blessed controller of your circumstance. So when you're got cursing on your mouth and in your heart, and you're saying words like frick and bling, frick and frack and whatever you say, bric-a-brac, maybe you don't use regular curse words, but that's what Satan wants in your life. And he's telling God, you know, you just trouble this guy and you'll find out, God, he will curse you to your face. So what I'm saying tonight is how to stand when you don't understand. How to stand when you don't understand. The Bible speaks about wrestling with Satan and principalities and powers. And in doing that, God is saying you have to be strong in the Lord, and he is saying that you have to stand and stay standing, because see, Satan doesn't want you to stand. He wants you to go against God and get bitter and quit on God. And so what about some life-threatening sickness that comes into your life? Jose Gonzalez told me one time, I didn't choose this battle, but now I have it with two cancers, and one being pancreatic cancer. What about when something negative comes into your life? Maybe your marriage, maybe your family. What about when your spouse walks out on you? What about when death strikes down one or more of your loved ones? What about someone you care for and have invested in walks away from God or from you or your church? What about when you are attacked by some kind of opposition that is unfair and you feel it? What do you do when you encounter some tragedy that you don't understand and you wonder what is happening? You know, we have a verse that I share. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't say after everything. You know, I mentioned this Sunday night. The Israelites, after God gave the victory, they praise God. They thank God. But he says, no, do it in everything. Do it when the bus breaks down, you know. Do it when people walk away from you, walk away from God. Do it when you're being treated unfairly in your marriage, your spouse treats you unfairly. That verse, we know, goes with Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good to them who love God. We know that, and that helps, and the Bible says that he's using these things to prepare us to be like Christ, and so we can submit to them in that understanding. But the book of Job, if you understand it, it can help you if you can see in the life of Job these three acts that we want to look at tonight. Again, look at verse 6 of chapter 1. I'll read it. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. You see, there's the first part of it. Satan, he is there to give trouble, and he is criticizing Job and attacking him and causing these problems behind the scenes. Now, what did Satan do? He accused Job of having because love. That's what he was saying. He's saying, Job has because love. Because love is, I love you because you're handsome. I love you because you're beautiful. I love you because you are so rich. I love you because you are strong. I love you because you do nice things for me. And that's all well and good in a marriage, but there's more than that. There was a man and his wife, and they were moving into a very scrumptious and beautiful new home. And she was the wealthy one, and she had inherited the money. And so she said, Harold, I want you to know that if it weren't for my money, we wouldn't be in this house. Then they both looked out, and they saw a beautiful car in the driveway. And once again, she said, Harold, I want you to know that if it weren't for my money, that car wouldn't be there. And then they saw the big sound system being moved into the den room. And she said, Harold, if it weren't for my money, that big sound system wouldn't be there. Well, finally, Harold got tired of it and said, yeah, Edna, if it weren't for your money, I wouldn't be here. That's because love. People stay together because of what they think they can get out of it. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. And people look at marriage that way, and they look at life that way. You know, the art of a deal, what I can get out of it. And there is that element to life, but Satan, that's all he can see. He can only see the deal in it. And those of you that are crafty and like Satan, you can see it in people. And there is that element to us, is there not? But it's more than because love, isn't it? And that is the kind of love that Satan says Job has, and nothing more than that, just because love. And he told God, basically, no wonder you bought him off. You bribed him. God says to Satan, no, Satan, you're wrong. He loves me no matter what, and I'm going to prove it. That's what God says. We're asking a question, how to stand when you don't understand. And Job was written to help you to understand what's going on in your life. Now look at verse 12 of Job chapter 1. I'll read it. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, God gave Satan permission. Let's remember something. Satan is God's devil. So whatever happens in your life, God is the controller. He gives permission to Satan when he wants to prove something. And here he wanted to prove something, that Job loves me. Not for just because love. Job loves me just because he loves me. How to stand when you don't understand. Three acts here. I want to give you three things. Number one, give praise. In Job 1, it is seen that Job's life suddenly begins to cave in. I hope things are going well for you. Hope things are going well with your finances. Hope things are going well with your family. I hope things are going well with your friendships. And we mentioned the Ganos. You want to praise the Lord for those things? And yes, we should indeed do that. But this is talking about a time when things go wrong. We're talking about a time when it's the evil day. We're talking about a time when Satan gets permission to go after and get through that hedge that we want God to build around us. And what happened here? Well, look at verse 13 now. After God gives permission, Satan, man, he doesn't wait a moment. He moves right in. Look at verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine. And of course, that's non-alcoholic wine, I believe, in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell them. Isn't that interesting? Satan makes sure somebody knows the bad news to tell him. He leaves somebody alive to tell him. And basically, what he's saying is, Job, you have now lost all your finances. Job was one of the wealthiest men in the world. I don't know what your net worth is tonight. Many Americans, we have a net worth. It's called our substance. And here Job, he had his entire net worth basically consumed in a day. And he was being devastated, really, financially. That was happening to him in verses 13 through 17. But let's look at verse 18 now of chapter 1 and verse number 19 and see what else happened. It says, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So now he's lost his finances. That's bad enough. But now he's losing his family, his children, whom he loved. He was blessed with a big family. And not just one son, not just one daughter, all at once. And if you look at it, I want you to look at Job chapter 2 now in verse number 3. Would you take your Bible, look at Job 2, verse number 3. I'm going to read it. Satan comes back after that, and Satan says his thing, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man? Sounds like God's just bragging about Job here. That there's none like him, you know, almost like I told you so. A perfect man and upright, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him. Now watch these next two words, without cause. You see, there was no cause for this to happen. It was just Satan's evil designs and his hatred that moved God to do this. And it was definitely without cause that this happened. And I'm saying to you, in your life, there are people that may say there's cause, but there are times in your life when these things happen basically without much cause. They may have some cause that God wants to correct, but it may be no cause. Certainly in Job's case, it was no cause. And what was happening here is that God is saying, you know, you moved me against him, but I told you he would not curse me, and you're moving me against him to do these things. And Satan hears from God, there's no cause in him. In other words, he hasn't done anything wrong for me to do this. I'm not chastening him. He's not getting whipped. He'd already lost his finances. He'd already lost his family. Now in chapter 2, the devil says, let's up the ante. All right, God, I agree he passed that one, but I'll show you. He'll curse you to your face. And look at verse 4. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his skin. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. So now he's lost his finances, he's lost his family, and now Satan says, I want him to lose his fitness. You know, I thank God for my fitness. I'm 76 years old and I'm fit as a fiddle, you know. I thank God for that. That could all change in a moment, couldn't it? You know, I lift weights, I can do push-ups and so forth and so on. That could all go in a moment. I could have a heart attack in a moment. I'm not doing the vegan diet like I should be, so I could. And I'm just saying to you that it's God that builds this hedge around us. And our fitness is very, very important. Our physical health is very, very important. You go into a church and you hear many prayer requests that have to do with physical health, and I understand that. It's important to us. And we feel it when our back hurts or our knee hurts or some such thing as that. And so, Job now lost his physical health, and he began to have sores all over his body, and he took a potsherd and he began to scrape himself. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thy hand. Verse 7. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes just to get some comfort on his skin because it hurt so bad. See, Satan wants to do those kind of things. And he wants you to go against God because of them. And God prevents him. But there he gave him permission to do that. And so that happened to him. So he lost his finances, lost his family. Now he lost his fitness. But Satan is not done. I want you to see verse number 11 of chapter 2, and I'll read it. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came everyone from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, he was the shortest one, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. To mourn with him and to comfort him. And basically they sat there and said nothing for a number of days, and then they opened their mouth and they said, you hypocrite. You sinner, nobody could have these things happen to them except they had sinned against God in a horrible way. And they began to describe the sins that he did chapter after chapter. And they began to call him a hypocrite, somebody going to hell. they basically went against him. You know, that's where we get Job's comforters. You know, when somebody's going through something, don't fly off the handle and jump to conclusions. And that's what they did. Now, there is a Greek word for these health and wealth preachers that say, you know, if you're right with God, you'll always be healthy, you'll always be wealthy, you'll always have the blessings of popularity and all that. There's a Greek word, a Hebrew word also, and it's called baloney. I'm saying that he lost his finances, he lost his family, he lost his fitness, and now he lost his friends, all without cause. And then Job, you know, because he had money and because he did nice things with his money and helped people, he had a lot of fame. He had a good reputation, right? He had a good name. But he's about to lose his fame. Go up to Job 19. There's a very graphic description, Job 19. And let's look at verse 13 through verse 19 there. And I want to see how he lost his fame. Look at verse 13. It says, Job speaking, he hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. Who is he talking about? His family, his brothers. Now, Satan killed his children, but not his brothers. But his brothers now would have nothing to do with him. Even his wife, you'll see, didn't want anything much to do with him. So he has his extended family turning against him, and he lost his reputation, and he's really looked down upon. He was highly respected before that by his family. They were proud to know him. Well, Job is my brother, you know. Not anymore. He said in verse 14 of chapter 19, my kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in my house and my maids count me for a stranger. He had servants. He was a wealthy man. And even his maids didn't want to have anything to do with him. He says, I'm an alien in their sight. I called my servant, verse 16, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. Hey, can you help me over here? No, the servant didn't do a thing. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. And then look at verse 18. Yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. Used to be the children thought he was the cat's meow. He's a great man, like a big grandpa. No longer. Children despise me. He says in verse number 19, all my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. In other words, he lost his fame. He lost his reputation without cause. And that is what he is going through. Now, I describe all of this to get to the first point of what you're to do when you are going through things that you don't understand, and they're tragic and they're painful. Maybe you're not there now, but maybe you've been there. Maybe you're not there now, but you will be there. I know what this is like. Jesse knows what this is like tonight. How to stand when you don't understand? Well, number one, look at what you're to do in Job chapter 1, verse 20 through 22. Let's go back there. What you're to do, number one, in Job 20, chapter 1, 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And what? And what? Worshipped. You know what worship is? It's just to be aware of how great God is, how good God is, how wonderful God is. And that's what he was doing. He didn't have his finances, didn't have his family, didn't have his fitness, didn't have his friends, didn't have his fame, but he worshiped God. He wasn't a hypocrite. He was a man that knew God. And this is the test. And what did he do in verse 21? He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. In other words, I came in my birthday suit in this world, and I'm leaving with my birthday suit. Guys, no net worth then. We're leaving it all. Amen? He says, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Satan wants you to do that. God wants you to praise him. God wants you to praise him when it hurts. God wants you to praise him when you're hurting. God wants you to stand when you don't understand what's going on, and how can you do that? Give praise to God. Give the glory to God. Thank him in everything, not after everything. We know that when God was done with all this, he brought Job out. But he praised God in the midst of it. Number two, though, there's a second thing you need to do to stand when you don't understand. And go with me to Job chapter 13 now and verse number 15. I'll read that verse, what you need to do. Secondly, in Job 13 and verse number 15, and what I need to do, I'll read it. It says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I remember being out of the pulpit for 9 months. Didn't seem like it was fair. The reasons given were lies. And I was out of the pulpit for 9 months, and I was hoping to pass a test at that time and complete my 40th year of pastoring. 40 is the number of testing, and I was noting that, and here I was being tested again, Brother Joe. And right in my 40th year, and I was out for 9 months, but thank God, not for the whole year, God brought me back. But before it could happen, I was out for those 9 months and couldn't see how it was going to turn out to deliver me. But I claimed this verse, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I had times in my house when I blasted the music and sang that song, Praise the Lord. Was it you that gave me that song, Patty? You that gave me that song. And I praised the Lord. I was praising God. I thank God for that experience now. I didn't then. Well, I did, but I didn't feel it. I remember reading the Psalms, and they came alive to me then. You know, the Psalms really express the emotions of somebody under deep tragedy and trial and trouble. And they can come alive to you in those kinds of times. And then when things are going well, you don't really feel them. And so it's actually better spiritually for you. In Job 23, verse 9, it says, God hideth himself. You know, there are times when God hides himself. When God doesn't show you what's the reason, what's going on here. And sometimes it's God's plan that you don't fully understand these painful times that you're going through, and you're trying to figure out why you're going through it. And this message is really to let you know why. Number one, not only does God want you to praise him in such times by faith, but to give him trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So in times of your pain, you've got to learn to praise him. And in times of your powerlessness and your cluelessness, you've got to learn to trust him. I remember 2017 going through that, and I remember Sarge saying to me and about me, I've seen the chief down, but he's not out. He'll be back. He'll be back. I've watched the chief over the years. He'll be back. And you know what? If we're following Jesus, that's the way it is. Jesus got knocked down, and he was in the grave, but he got back up. Amen. And that's how he leads us. We experience the likeness of his death, but we also experience the likeness of his resurrection. And we need to embrace both of those. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. My wife watched The Wizard of Oz, and she saw that wicked witch of the West and how she was watching the scarecrow. And she kept seeing the scarecrow look like he's down and out, you know, but he kept getting up and going forward to the Emerald City. And the witch looked at the scarecrow and she said, somebody's always helping that boy. And, you know, that's what Satan sees. He's seen it before. And God shows him up. And, you know, in the midst of the painful times, in the midst of the unfair times, without cause time. He will teach you to trust him. He will teach you that he alone can deliver you. He says in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He shows you he's with you when you're hopeless and you see no way out. You will get through it. I can give hope to people, like in Pilgrim's Progress, the man named Hopeful. And tonight I would give you hope. When you go through these times, God will go with you into the valley and then bring you back up and out. I've said it many times, but in 1996, when I felt that I was going through another such time and I was hopeless and feeling like everybody was against me, and Brother Joe said to me these words, he said, "It's only a test, Pastor. It's only a test." And those words ministered to me. I never forgot them, because he was right. It was unfair. It was uncalled for. But how to stand when you don't understand? Realize it's a test of your faith. And trust. Give God trust. Give God praise. But give him faith. Give him trust. That's when your faith is being tested. And remember what R.T. Ketchum said: God is too good to be unkind and too wise to make a mistake. How to understand when you don't understand? The first act is give him praise when you're going through terrible pain. Give him trust when it's all mysterious. And then number three, gain from him schooling. Gain schooling from God. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I just want you to go with me to Job 38 real quickly here. Job chapter 38. We're talking about gaining schooling, giving him praise, giving him trust, gaining schooling. Look at Job 38, 1 through 4. It says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man." By the way, that's a scripture for saying men should wear pants. "For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." And he just went through all of those things that God had done in creation. And he says, you know, do you understand true science? Do you understand creation? Of course, he didn't. God couldn't explain it all. And God says that he didn't seek counsel from you or me when he created this world and set up the universe. And he doesn't need your counsel or mine on how things should be done. In other words, you need to go to school on God's sovereignty. What's God's sovereignty? That God is the boss. God is the boss. Like sometimes a parent will say, when you pay the bills and you have your own home, then you can make all those decisions. But otherwise, I'm the boss. God is the boss. He's got all the wisdom, all the power. He's God. And you need to gain schooling on God's sovereignty. And at such a time as that, you begin to understand that, wow, God is in control. I don't know how to fix that bus, but I know God does. Amen. And that humbles me. And then next, you gain schooling on God's sufficiency. Go back to Job 42 now, at the end there, Job 42, and I want to just read to you verses 1 and 2, where it talks about God's sufficiency. Look at what it says. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." God is saying, I know it all. Not only can God do whatever he wants, but Job gets to understand that God himself is enough when everything else has been stripped away from him. God reduced Job to one thing,
And that was God himself. You say, why did he do that? To prove a point to Satan. Number one, he didn't just have because love. And number two, that he would know that God is all sufficient. That's all we need. I understand that St. Augustine gave an illustration of a deal where God makes a deal and he says, I will make it so that you'll never lack for money. I will make it so that you'll never be sick. I will make it so that you will never experience loss of friendship and popularity and fame. I will make it so that you will have all of the blessings of this life, but one thing, you will not see my face again. Is that a deal? Would you take that deal? It's a test for who you are. If you would readily take that deal, it's not a very good pointer to your godliness. You see, God is all sufficient. And once Job gained this schooling on God's sufficiency, and once he gained this schooling on God's sovereignty, he was ready. God said, I'll give you back your finances. I'll give you back your family. I'll give you back your fame. I'll give you back your fitness. And he did that. He gave him double the children, the ones he had in heaven and now the ones on earth. And his daughters were the most beautiful daughters. You see, God gave it all back to him. The Lord doesn't love to inflict pain on us. That's Satan. But the Lord wants us to prove his sufficiency, his all-sufficiency, and his sovereignty, and that we recognize it. And therefore, to gain schooling from God, to give God faith, trust, when you don't understand. And then, number one, to praise him. To praise him when you don't understand. How to stand when you don't understand. Listen, if you're going through these things, it's what any great man of God has to go through, or great woman of God. You have to go through it to be great for God. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about how to stand when you